I hadn't used Uber since I was at PodFest in Orlando in early March, right before the lockdown. In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about my adventures of going to a doctor's appointment on my own using the rideshare service.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 97 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode. And before we get into anything, today's episode is the Jane episode. Jane was born back in 1997. A few weeks ago, I did episode 94, which was the Jacob episode. So today is the Jane episode. And it's kind of funny, you know, I was thinking about the episode and knowing that I was going to call it the Jane episode. I have a picture and I've got to find it. It's an actual picture. It was before we had a digital camera. Jane took a pillow, opened one of her drawers in her bureau or whatever it was, and put the pillow in and then went to sleep in it when she was little, 2 or 3 years old. And it is the best picture. I absolutely love it. It was a pillow that Liz made her. It was a smiley face pillow, pink smiley face, and she loved that pillow, and and it's just the greatest picture, and I hope to have it. I'll either put it on the show notes if I can finally upload pictures there, or I'll find it and I'll put it on my Instagram feed. Again, any social media for me is at David Benj. I've been trying to post a little more over on Instagram, both video and pictures. And so have a look over there. Again, Instagram.com/@DavidBenj or /DavidBenj, I guess. And before I get into the meat of today's episode, which was my adventure last week going to the rheumatologist on my own, taking an Uber for the first time and all that stuff since everything COVID went down, a couple of brief updates. Fantasy football. Man, did I get destroyed this week. I was playing Kasaya from Verizon Media, who was doing the case study on us, and she beat me by over 100 points. And I had 113. She had 220. Every one of her main players had at least 20 points or more. And it was just unreal. I was watching NFL Red Zone, and they went from one highlight of one of her players to another highlight of scoring, to another highlight of one of her players scoring, to her kicker kicking a field goal. And I thought, oh my God, I am doomed. And, 113 wasn't terrible. There was actually one game I would have won with that total. So I am 2-5, and it's really not looking good for the postseason for me. But like I said, to both her and Brian, who is the commissioner of the league, it has been a lot of fun this year. And, it's just interesting. And who knows what could happen the way things are going with COVID and everything. You know, a couple of good players might get sidelined, and that would open the door for me without really any good players except Lamar Jackson. So that's one update. I noticed going back that I hadn't given a weight update. And I found this kind of funny. I'm down in 152 and change is where I'm at now, which is down around 21 pounds since the end of February. And I think I'm starting to plateau, and I'm kind of thinking this is where it's going to stop. Maybe I'll go a little bit further. We'll see. But I noticed over the last couple of weeks, and this kind of ties into the rheumatologist appointment, because I was seeing a rheumatologist, and he decided to close his office. He was tired of all the nonsense with the insurance companies, and I get all that. I get, you know, he was doing just as much paperwork for them as he was seeing patients, and it just became a drag, and he shut it down. Well, over the summer at some point, I want to say in August, I guess, one of the medicines that I take, which is an anti-inflammatory, I was running low. So I tried to call the pharmacy to have it, you know, refilled, and I was out of refills. So since he had shut down the office, there were no refills to be had from him. And I had actually emailed him in September saying, hey, you know, I have an appointment in about a month. Is there any way that you can, you know, give me a prescription to carry me to that? And he said, no, you know, the office is closed, so forth and so on. I said, okay. So I had, now that was, that medicine I was taking 600 milligrams, but right before I went to the 600 milligram pill for that, I was on a 500 milligram pill, and I had gotten a refill on that just before I had an appointment to see the doctor. So I had a 90-day supply. So maybe I had an 80, an 85-day supply of the 500 milligrams. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm out of the 600. I'll just start taking the 500, and hopefully that will carry me. And as I said, you know, in September, I realized that wasn't going to get me to the appointment in October. So near the in the last week or so, I had to start rationing my meds to instead of taking it twice a day, I took it once a day. And I noticed that when I started going, after a couple of days of going just once a day, that I lost a little more weight. You know, in other words, you know, some days when I, you know, some days I fluctuate, it's only, you know, a small point, a small percentage, point one or point two. I noticed that on successive days, I was losing like 0.5. And I thought, why all of a sudden, you know, I went back and I looked, I keep a food journal, like I had said, you know, in the episode when I mentioned that I was gonna, you know, I was getting heavy, and this medicine is one of it. It's called Etodolac. And I noticed that once I started taking that, you know, like I had said in that episode, I had started to gain a little more weight. And so I started to wonder, was it not taking the medicine that was, you know, showing me these drops of, you know, a fairly large chunk, a half a pound in a day is, you know, is fairly significant. And I thought, okay, well, I'll keep an eye on it and I'll continue to eat, you know, in the 1500 to 1800 calories. And again, I try to stay close to 1500, but you know, yesterday, for example, I had, you know, around 1700. You know, as I've mentioned in the past, I'm not doing it as strict. So I wondered how that would be. And when I went to my rheumatologist appointment last week, I asked to refill that prescription. I actually had forgotten at the actual appointment, and I did it after I got home, and so I just started taking that in the last couple of days. So I've noticed seems like I've been a little hungrier, but I haven't started to gain weight like I was dropping it. You know, once I dropped down to taking it just once a day, so we'll have to see. But you know, I'm down, like I said, around 21 pounds from my largest at about I was around 173 or so. 173 and change. I don't remember what the, you know, I could go back and probably see what I was the first day I started doing the journal again. Now, part of the issue, I think, that I've stopped, you know, over the last, you know, since we moved, I also didn't keep the journal. And I noticed that when I don't keep the food journal with, hey, I had, you know, 403 grams of broccoli, or I'm sorry, 403 grams of cauliflower and this and that and the other, I end up losing track and then end up eating too much. So, you know, since we had moved, I was, you know, for about a week, I didn't keep track. So that may also be why, you know, I've kind of plateaued, because I wasn't keeping track. I just actually started keeping track a couple of days ago, again. You know, I took about 10 days off of doing that. So we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, so somebody had asked me, how's that going? And it's, you know, I think it's going great. You know, I didn't like the idea that, you know, I had gained the weight back to begin with it, you know, or gained the weight to begin with. And as I had mentioned in that episode where I talked about needing to lose some weight, two things were the main cause of, you know, gaining the weight from going from the mid 150s to 173. One was my, the retina surgery I had back in 2017. After that, I gained about 5 or 6 pounds. I was sedentary for so long. And I was talking to a friend last night and I was telling her that, you know, when you have a detached retina, you have this gas bubble in your eye. And depending on where the retina detached, that determines how you have to, you know, usually there's bed rest and it's in a certain position, I had to lay on my right-hand side for 22 hours a day. It was brutal. I mean, it sounds like it might be great, but it's brutal. I've heard stories where people have had to lay on their stomach for 22 hours a day. I had to do it for a week. That was back in 2017. And then even after that, so for the next 6 or 8 weeks, you know, I couldn't really do a lot. I couldn't really go for a, you know, couldn't lift anything, couldn't do any kind of strenuous anything. And, you know, it was during that time that I gained that little bit of weight. I wasn't too concerned with it. I didn't say, oh my gosh, I better lose that weight right away. Because I do get on the scale every day. So, or just about every day. You know, there might be a day where, you know, if I'm rushing or I end up eating something before I jump in the shower, I obviously don't get on. So that wasn't a big deal. But then when I started, you know, about 15 or 16 months ago with this other medicine, I started getting, you know, fairly rapid, started to get a little heavier. And, I finally got to the point where, you know, each month I noticed, you know, month over month, it was just, you know, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And, you know, it was just time, you know, gaining a pound or pound and change each month. You know, I know where that was headed, and that was headed back to 235 pounds where I was back in December of 2009. And I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to get back there because, you know, obviously when you're that heavy, you know, and I'm only about 5'8 or 5'9, you know, it makes things hurt more. And again, you know, my knees and feet and other things hurt, you know, all the time to begin with. So I don't want to put, I don't want to put extra weight on them. So, so then I thought, you know what, I've got to do it. And, you know, everybody talks about the COVID-19, they've gained 19 pounds. During the pandemic, I've lost 21. And again, I don't want to say I found it easy because it's never easy. But, you know, if you make the right choices, you can eat whatever you want. And I do eat whatever I want for the most part. You know, you just have to set your mind to do it. And as I'll get into in a minute before I divert from the medical talk for a sec, any challenge, you just have to do it. You just have to set your mind and say, hey, I'm going to do it. This is what I have to do. And that's, you know. So before I get into my adventures, I just wanted to pass along one thing that has nothing to do with anything that's cited, not cited, medical, fantasy football. We have a BJ's and a Costco membership, actually in Sam's Club too, because they had something on deal and we needed a couple of them, and it actually paid if we did the membership, and we saved more than the membership when we ordered the item. So BJ's is the one that's very close to our house. It's, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes away, very close by. And, you know, one of the things that Liz will sometimes do will be order online and then pick it up in the store. So one day last week, I want to say it was Saturday, she did that, but she knew she wasn't going to be there. This was, I think around 9 o'clock in the morning. She knew she wasn't going to be over there until later that day. So she said she'd pick it up between 8 and 9 PM. She ordered 3 items, toilet paper, paper towels, and, tissues, and, you know, got the confirmation and so forth and so on. Well, when she got there to pick it up, there were no paper towels, and, you know, not that they charged us for them or anything, but she was mad because she was honest and she figured, well, you know, I'm going to pick it up here, so I'll just say that I'm going to pick it up at that time. She didn't realize at the time, and we do now, and I'll get into that in a sec, that when you place an order for in-store pickup and you say the hour that you're going to be able to pick it up, they don't pull the order until 2 hours before that. So had she said she was going to pick it up at noon, they would have had it, because when she went in to complain about not being able to get the paper towels, why, you know, what happened, they told her that we pull the order 2 hours before your scheduled time to come in. So, you know, how does she know there were paper towels in the store before, you know, that would have been there had she just said she was coming in as soon as possible? Because the person she was talking to when Liz was talking to the manager, when that person said she came in at 2 o'clock, she said she saw people with those paper towels in their carts. So the tip is, if you're going to do the call ahead pickup, whether they're going to bring it out to your car or you're going to go into the warehouse to get it, just tell them you're going to be there as soon as possible. You know, if they give you, if it's 9 o'clock in the morning and the first hour that they have to pick it up is 11, say that you're going to pick it up at 11, because there's a better chance that you're going to get what you ordered. And you know, she didn't know that at the time, and their customer service was so poor. You know, it's not even funny. You know, she called and she got a call back, and she got a call back, of course, while she was at school teaching. And when she tried to call back, it was like one of those, you know, she was in, you know, just the perpetual music, then telephone ringing, then music, then telephone ringing. When she pushed just about any button, and I said to her, I said, just dial the bakery. The bakery's not busy right now. It, you know, it was like 6 or 7 at night. Call the bakery and ask for the person you need. So she did that. And that person wasn't available. And they said, well, how about this person? You know, it was the next one down on the list. And, you know, Liz ended up talking to this guy. And I'm not going to mention his name, even though I know it. And she didn't want anything. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, hey, I want a free paper towel. I want this. She just wanted to get the paper towels when they're available. You know, put one aside so she can get them. You know, we're messy over here. So, you know, and, but he said, okay, we'll call you when they come in. Okay, great. That's all I wanted. We'll call you and let you know, and we'll put one aside. So yesterday, every morning since this happened over the weekend, every morning she would get up and, you know, go to BJ's.com or whatever the URL is and check to see if they're in stock. And yesterday morning they were, so she ordered them. And, you know, she's still waiting for that call back from BJ's to say, hey, we have a package of these, you know, Bounty Selecticize, you know, mega rolls, you know, waiting for you. You just have to come in and pick them up and, you know, pay for them. And to the best of my knowledge, as of about an hour ago, no call from BJ's. You know, now she ordered them yesterday, and we ended up picking them up and did the curbside to see how that was. And that was just, you know, I guess maybe if you have a lot of stuff and you got heavy stuff, it might be a good idea. But, you know, we waited more than 10 minutes and it just, you know, we could have been in the store and back in the car, I think, a lot quicker than waiting for them to bring it in. And I don't know why she decided to do the curbside, I guess to try it when, you know, like I said, when there's a lot of stuff, it might be easier. So there's the tip. If you, any of the stores offer, and BJ's will hold that order, I think for a day or two, or maybe even longer. So just tell them you're going to come over as soon as you can, as far as that window goes. So they pick the order as soon as you can. And then there's a better chance that you get it. It's not, obviously it's not guaranteed, but it just so irritated Liz about that. So that I just wanted to mention that because I know, you know, well, I don't know. I know that a lot of my friends, you know, use Costco and BJ's, and we've never done Costco. We just go in, and Sam's Club, can't tell you the last time I was in the store when we ordered the items that we needed. You know, it was, you know, on their website. So I just wanted to pass that along. So hopefully it will help you out down the road, and just do the soonest time you can, and you know, whether you're going that day or the next day, just do it. So you have, again, a better chance at getting what you need, especially if we go into another quarantine or your state goes into another quarantine and you want to stock up on stuff. You want to make sure you get it and you're good to go. So I just wanted to pass that along. All right. So let's move on to my adventure last week. You know, I had this rheumatology appointment. I set it up over the summer, the soonest I could get in to see this new doctor was October 22nd. So I set it up and I thought, okay, this is good. I thought I had enough, you know, of my meds to get me there. Like I had mentioned previously, I did not. And you know, it still worked out okay, I guess, with the meds. I don't know. I mean, there were some days I was in agony with a lot of pain, but again, it was part of the, in that same time frame of the moving. So I wasn't taking my vitamins because I couldn't get to my vitamins. They were in my desk drawer, which was in my unfinished office that, you know, the guys were down here working. And a couple of times I had come downstairs to see what was going on or to pick something up out of the desk. And there was something on the stairs coming down that I ended up stepping on. And there was, you know, there was just stuff everywhere. And it's, you know, it's tough for me to, you know, if things constantly change, which when you're building something, things constantly change, you know, and maybe there's a, you know, there's drywall here where yesterday it was over there and so forth and so on. So I tried not to come down the stairs too often to get something that I needed. If I wanted to see progress or talk to the contractor, obviously I would come downstairs. But so I wasn't taking my vitamins, which I take fish oil pills, which I was told to take, you know, it was good for my heart. A doctor years ago told me to do. But I've also found that if I go a few days without taking that, I do notice a difference, you know, in my joints as well. So I wasn't taking my medicine because I didn't, the right amount of medicine and the right amount of times per day, which is twice, I was only taking one, and I wasn't taking my my vitamins. So, you know, I was, you know, there were some days where it was, you know, pretty excruciating and I had some crazy swelling in my left hand one day. It was just brutal. So when I had scheduled the appointment, you know, Liz didn't have a doctor's appointment the day before. In the meantime, she had scheduled an appointment for her and Jane to go to a different doctor the day before. So as I've mentioned, to get time off this year from school, it's tough for Liz. Jane has some days that she can take off. They've been pretty good with that. You know, her company has been pretty good with that. So she said, I can't take you to that appointment. And I said, okay, well, I'll do it on my own. You know, not 100% comfortable, but I'll do it on my own. And it'll give me a podcast episode because I can talk about it and the different things that I have to go through to do it, to get there. And, you know, again, an unfamiliar place for me. So one of the things that we did, and I touched on it briefly last week, was the day before. In fact, it was the day my left hand was killing me and my left wrist where to the point where I could barely move it. The day before Liz got home from school, she got back from her appointment because that was the day she had her appointment. We did a couple of things around here and then we had some other errands to run beside that. One of them was out by the hospital where the appointment was. So we said, okay, we're going to do a dry run. We'll do this dry run and, you know, I'll get a feel for how I have to go. And, so we did that. So we walked in, you know, we went, you know, where are we going to park? Where will the Uber guy let me out or girl? Where will I get out? Where will I go in? And the first thing that terrified me is the door that you go in. The hospital, and it's, again, one of those, you say it's a hospital, but it's kind of like a campus because the hospital where the sick people are and, you know, who stay overnight, you know, is in the front. And then in the back, they have these outpatient, you know, all these different, you know, offices and stuff. And there's two buildings that have, the, you know, that. So the doors that you go in, and it's over at a hospital called Riddle, which I always think is kind of funny, but there's a couple of, in this area, it's not, you know, you don't have to actually, you know, listen to a riddle and solve it. It's, you know, it's just the name. So they have these doors. They're kind of like revolving doors, but they're not a typical revolving door. They kind of move automatically. And a couple people, it's almost like a compartment where a couple people could go in it. Like if, you know, if Liz Jane and I, or Liz Jake and I, or I don't know that all four of us can fit in one, but you know, you could all go in one. Obviously during COVID, you don't want to go in with somebody else, but the way they move, you know, I would have to stick my cane out and I necessarily couldn't see when the door was open and closed. And then you kind of walk slowly. So I was terrified I was going to stick my cane out and it was going to be just as the entrance was kind of closing up and then my cane would break. And then, you know, I wasn't preparing or wasn't planning on taking a backpack, which would have my spare cane. So I, you know, I said to Liz, I said, well, how am I going to know where the door is? How am I going to know that, you know, where along, you know, I'm going to have to stand there for a minute to see what's going on. Obviously, if I walked up to it and reached my cane out and tapped something, that would mean that, you know, I have to wait. But if it were open, how much space would I, you know, would I need? Would, so I was able to navigate it and get in. And then I just stayed to the outside and just had my cane go along the edge until I got to the other opening. And once I got to the other opening, you know, then I, you know, just, you know, bailed out on it. And again, had to do it again on the, obviously on the way out. Again, not trying to keep socially distant while waiting for, you know, the door to come around. I don't know if I got in front of somebody. I may have. You know, that was, you know, that was the tough part for me because where the door was, they were checking people in not too far from there. So, you know, there were people coming in and people going out and they were all congregated by the door. So, you know, I hear all sorts of other noise and, you know, that made me a little nervous if I was even going the right way. You know, it's always easy for me to tell where people are if there's more than one person standing, you know, if it's a husband and wife or a parent and child, or, you know, siblings or whatever, because they're talking and, you know, that I can hear. But if somebody's just standing still, I, you know, I may or may not notice them being there. And as I've mentioned in countless episodes, I hate to walk up and then end up starting tapping people on the ankles and feet. And I, you know, poor Liz, I do it all the time because a lot of times when, you know, a walkway isn't wide enough, I will walk behind her. And, you know, I try to keep my distance because I don't want to hit her in the ankles or the Achilles, you know, so, you know, so I just, you know, I went over there and I waited and finally when I thought it was my turn to go, I, you know, I stuck the cane out and I could hear there were people coming in. So I knew the doorway was opening and I went in and I, you know, slowly made my way around and I was good to go. But, you know, so once I got through that door coming in, you had to go to a desk. And again, you have to stay distant from people in this queue. So again, when it's just one person, I don't know when somebody's moving, you know, when they call, okay, next, I know, okay, I can move forward. I don't know how far, you know, I was guessing, you know, around 6 feet. And, well, I guess I wasn't guessing. I guess the day before when Liz and I went on the dry run, you know, she told me that, okay, you know, we can move to the next dot. And there was something on the floor. So I kind of tried to gauge that when I was standing in line on my own. Then I went up to the desk and, you know, do you know where you're going? I said, yes, because we had done the dry run the day before. They took my temperature, slapped a sticker on me, and I was off to the races. I could go to the appointment. So, so that was the most terrifying part of it. You know, the Uber going and coming, I hadn't been in an Uber since the 8th of March when I was in Orlando at PodFest. And I thought, okay, you know, am I going to wear gloves? Am I not going to wear gloves? You know, it's kind of funny to wear gloves for someone that's using the cane, like using a cane, whether it's, you know, the white cane that I use or a cane to help you walk, or if you're touching anything, you know, because whether you have gloves on or not, if you touch something that's not yours and that you don't know what's on the surface, it doesn't matter if it's your bare hand or it's a glove. I then touch the cane and now it's on, you know, if there's something there, it's now on the cane. So I wore gloves knowing that the hospital was going to tell me to take them off because that happened to Liz and Jane the day before. And so I was prepared for that. I knew, you know, I took a pack of wet ones, you know, with the, you know, the antibacterial and stuff in them. And I figured, okay, you know, I'll get to the appointment, I'll do everything. I'll then wipe my hands down, my cane down. I had to wipe my IDs down because, you know, I had to hand them to someone. And so when I ordered the Uber, and Uber is always a little bit tricky for me because the app isn't 100% accessible. You know, when you punch in your address and, you know, you have to confirm it, there's a little spot on the map that I don't know if it says the address. I don't know what it says, but it doesn't, you know, it just makes a like a doink sound when you touch it. And so it's obviously not very helpful. So I always just confirm it. Now, that got me in trouble in the past where I confirmed that and the Uber was like across the street. This happened when I was in State College a couple of years ago. The Uber was across the street at a different hotel because there were two hotels right across the street from one another. For whatever reason, mine ended up looking like I was at that hotel, not the one that I was actually at. So, you know, I confirmed it and I just, you know, went outside after I knew he was going to be there. And I don't remember how many minutes, like 5 minutes away, I went out and just, you know, waited outside. And so I thought about it. It was the first time that I had been in an Uber that was a Mercedes. And I don't know exactly what kind of Mercedes it was, but I think I'd mentioned this to Liz, you know, in the past, you know, sometimes I've gotten in a car where maybe you don't have the best thoughts of it. You know, oh, it's a Kia. Oh, it's a Hyundai. Oh, you know, what junk. Well, I went to a concert a little over a year ago, and whatever it was, and I want to say it was a Hyundai, it was the most comfortable car I've ever ridden in. There was so much leg room in the back. I sat behind the guy, the driver, and I had at least 6 inches of space between my knee and the seat. And he was a fairly tall guy. You know, because I asked him, I said, do you have your seat all the way up? I have so much leg room back here. And he said, no, I'm, you know, I don't remember what he was. He was over 6 feet though. And so when I get into the Mercedes, I'm thinking, oh, this is pretty fancy. I'm going to be riding in this Mercedes. And first of all, every time the guy stopped, the Mercedes shut off. So while it was within the range that Uber allows, you know, as far as age goes, there were some issues with it, clearly some issues. But it wasn't the most comfortable car I've ever been in. And I, you know, and I'm sure this guy bought this car used. And I'm sure he probably paid as much as that guy who bought the Hyundai, you know, for the brand new one. So I was just kind of surprised at that. And I don't know why, and maybe they do, maybe you can, you know, you go into a dealer and say, hey, I drive for Uber, you know, do I get a discount? You know, what can I do? I just think it's funny because again, I would never consider, you know, Kia, you know, again, people look down on those cars and, you know, whichever one it was. And again, I think it was Hyundai. You know, I thought, wow, this was great. I mean, it was just very comfortable. So going to the place in the Uber, I felt pretty good other than it stalling every time, you know, every time we stopped at a red light or a stop sign. You know, the driver was great and everything. And I'm not very chatty in the car. And that's how Jane said, that's how I rate them. If somebody talks to me too much, I don't like that. I don't want to deal with that. I'm not that bad. If somebody talks to me, I obviously will talk. But this guy was concentrating on driving. He said, hey, how's it going? And, you know, have a great day at the end and so forth. And it was great. He was a good driver. And, you know, I got to where I needed to be. And, you know, and I was nervous because they're doing construction at the hospital. So some of the places you have to drive were closed and I can't see where to turn to tell them, hey, you got to turn here, you got to turn there. But we got there and I said, look, I said, I know there's a stop sign coming up and I believe there is a crosswalk at that stop sign. And he said, yes, I see that. I said, well, I'll jump out there. I jumped out and I was good to go. Crossed the street or whatever it was, you know, the parking lot street, whatever, and went in and so forth. Once I got to the office, as I mentioned, I had to give my IDs and my insurance and so forth. So I sat, you know, in the waiting room while the local ABC channel played. And it was, and I thought this was kind of funny, live with, I forget their names. You know, it used to be Regis and Kathy Lee. It's, you know, the girl from South Jersey and Ryan, whatever. But I found out at the very end of that show, not that I was watching it or listening, you couldn't help but listen because, you know, there was only me and one other person in the waiting room. And, you know, the TV was fairly loud. And I was basically, you know, going through emails and stuff, but, you know, you couldn't help but hear it. Evidently, the guy that does the announcing part of that show is a guy named Larry Mullins. And he is a news anchor on 1010 Winds in New York, which we always listened to when we would go up to either visit Jane or pick Jane up or whatever. And he is a very funny guy, you know, even when, you know, when he's doing some of the news, obviously he's... He doesn't say, yeah, there was a 5-alarm fire, ha, 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 you know, but, you know, on some of the stories. And it, and he's just, he's got a great personality. So I thought that was cool that he was the announcer there. So, you know, I'm waiting and then they call me back and I get on the scale. And the funny thing was when I got on the scale, I figured, okay, I've got my phone, my keys, I'm fully dressed, my shoes. I was 7 pounds heavier than when I weighed myself that morning. I was 160 there, and when I weighed myself here after my shower, I was 153. So I thought that was interesting, you know. And I, you know, made sense. I had, you know, a shirt, a t-shirt on, and I had a flannel shirt on top of that because it was wasn't a cold day, but it was a little bit chilly, you know. So I go back and you know, I'm, again, because it was my first time there, I had given I was given a questionnaire that we were able to get beforehand, and Liz and I filled it out the day before. And when I say Liz and I filled it out, Liz filled it out after asking me the questions. It doesn't end well if I have to fill something out, and you know, there's writing everywhere, whether it's in a blank space or not. So I went over with one of the, I don't know if she was a nurse. Her name is Erin, which I found out later when the doctor ended up coming in and she came back with him. But I liked the doctor and, you know, we went over everything. It was almost a, if you've ever gone for glasses, you know, and you're sitting there and you're looking through that contraption where, is this better? And then they turn a dial, or is this better? And then they'll say one or two. Well, you know, when he's checking out my hands, you know, and he can see, you know, my joints are swollen. Like he would squeeze one really hard and it just hurt like you wouldn't believe. He said, does that hurt more? And then he would find a different one on the same finger. Or does this one hurt more? And I'm like, oh my God. And then he would say, let me do it again. I'm like, oh my God. And you know, we did it again. And I said, definitely this one or definitely that one. And I just thought that was kind of funny because it reminded me of that, you know, obviously over the years, I had, you know, many pairs of glasses, you know, when they actually helped. You know, just sitting there with him squeezing every swollen knuckle on my finger and whatnot. So, but one of the things that he found, and I think this was interesting that, and I kind of knew this was coming because both my parents had an issue with their thyroid. He was doing, you know, he was checking out my neck because I also have it a bit in my neck, psoriatic arthritis, not anything else. You know, he was checking that out, but he was feeling around my throat and he noticed, you know, it was, you know, on one side, I guess it was on the left side, you know, he noticed something and he started squeezing me like, you know, and all I could think of was Criminal Minds and, you know, I'm thinking he's the unsub. So he's squeezing. He said, I noticed something there. He said, do you ever have hoarseness or this or that? And I said, yeah, I said, it happens, you know, not frequently, but it happens often. And there's some days, again, just like everything else, some days I see better than others. Some days I feel better than others with my joints And, you know, some days I'm hoarse and some days I'm not. So he said, yeah, I have to have, you're going to have an ultrasound on your thyroid. And like I mentioned, both my parents had issues with their thyroid. So I have to have an ultrasound for that. So we'll see how that goes. Otherwise, everything went pretty good. And I go back in a couple of weeks, probably going to change my meds for the psoriatic arthritis and see how that goes. We're going to go back to something called Humira, which I may have mentioned before. I took it for about 6 or 8 months a couple years ago, in 2017, actually, because I stopped it right before I had the retina surgery. And it's an injectable. The one thing I didn't like about it, not the fact that it's an injectable, but there's like prep work you have to do. You have to look at it. Is it clear? Does it look like it's in the right spot? And this and that. Doing the actual stabbing and injecting is very easy. It's, you know, it's got like this little spring-loaded thing, and, you know, you jab it into your leg and boom, you hit the button and it goes in and bing, bang, boom, you're done. Except for one time when I did it, and I think I've mentioned it. One time I must have hit a blood vessel or something, and blood was just just bubbling up. And I had, I don't remember if I asked Liz, my phone was in my office or Studio C at the time. And I asked them to run and get my phone because I wanted to take a picture of it. But in that time that it took them to run in there, the blood was coming out. Wasn't like gushing like in that Saturday Night Live sketch with John Belushi playing Julia Child. But, you know, it was coming out at a fairly decent amount. And it didn't hurt that much. I just thought it was interesting that how, you know, I had taken these, you know, every couple of weeks, you know, for months, and how's this happening now? How did I never do this before? Well, I waited too long to start dabbing it up and it went onto the couch. So fortunately it came out, and that couch is actually now here in Studio B. I'm not sitting in it. I'm, as I said last week, I'm actually walking around in front of my desk, tethered to my computer with my headset. But so I told him the story. I said, you know, he said, oh, you took that. And we went through it. And I said, yeah, I had an incident once. And, you know, now when I take, after that time, when I took it, I put a paper towel right next to my leg. So if it did start to run one way or the other, and the thing is, because you're jabbing in the middle of your thigh, you know, it could go, you know, on both sides, it could run down either side. So I would always have a paper towel standing by, you know, so I wouldn't mess up the couch again, especially now, because as I mentioned in last week's moving episode, I don't know that it was moving. It was about us moving. Our couches are white, or were white before the move. So it would really, leave a mark. So he's looking into maybe putting me back on that. And the medicine that I take now is called Otezla. You know, it's a pill. I can, boom, it's easy for me to do. It's, you know, it's fairly small. So that's the only issue. Sometimes, you know, I can't tell if there's one or two, you know, when I pour them out into the cap, because I don't like to touch them, you know, because I drop a lot of things and I don't want to drop those because it's an expensive medication. Not that I pay, but my insurance pays. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens. But again, to take that med, the Humira, you know, I can't do it on my own. But it is only, every 2 weeks. You know, you just have to keep track which leg you did it in last time, because you alternate. So, you know, I would do left leg and then 2 weeks later do right leg and back and forth. And I guess after a while I could, you know, do it, you know, other spots. I don't remember why I did it in my thigh. I know that was recommended, because they go through all sorts of stuff. So we'll see, you know, and I'm hoping that will help, because it has been, over the last few months, maybe even 6 months or more, it's been tough. You know, so, you know, I'm in the office, we're talking, and, you know, they say, well, we also want you to get a chest x-ray. And I don't remember. I think that was, you know, in preparation for the Humira to see if I have TB. And, you know, I said to them, I said, can I get the x-ray while I'm here? It'll save me the money of doing another Uber. And they said yes on that, but they didn't know if I could do the ultrasound without an appointment. And I didn't find out. I figured, well, I'll do the chest x-ray and then I'll see on the ultrasound. You know, the blood work I had to do somewhere else. And hopefully they have They have Saturday hours, you know, so Liz can take me, because I don't want to spend, you know, $30 or $40 having to go to that. So we went through everything. I then found my way to where I needed to go. Now, the funny thing is, when they told me where the x-ray spot was, I kind of knew it, because when Liz and I did the dry run, you know, we actually were wandering around there because she thought that was the correct floor. So I knew that I could go up, and, you know, I had to go to floor one in the elevator, which, you know, again, didn't really want to touch the buttons, but I have to touch them with my hands, because I have to feel which one is marked with a one. And so I got off the elevator, used a wet one on my hands, and somebody saw me standing there, and he said, "Oh, do you need some help?" And I said, "Well, I'm just wiping down my hands and my cane after, you know, touching the elevator buttons." So he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I have to get an x-ray." He said, "Oh, come on, I'll take you down there." And, you know, he didn't offer to grab my arm, thank God. And I wouldn't have liked that. I mean, you know, again, happy that he's helping. He said, I'll just walk beside you. Is that okay? I said, yeah, that's great. And he would, you know, do a little play by play. Okay, we're just going to walk down a little further. You know, we're passing this, or we're going past that, or, you know, it's just a little bit more, and the door's going to be on our left, and so forth and so on. So I go in there, and I thanked him for taking me there. And, you know, and then I, you know, gave the girl behind the desk, you know, all my information, and it took her a little longer. So I kind of think I should have gone to outpatient first, to register. And she never mentioned that, but somebody that came in after me, because she was doing this, you know, the line was starting to back up because, you know, she was the only one behind the desk, and, you know, they ended up having to go to outpatient to register. So I get that done. I go, bing, bang, boom. The x-ray was easy. I then go back downstairs. I'm waiting for the elevator. Again, fairly tricky, because I knew there were a couple of groups of people waiting for an elevator. Now, you know, like in any hospital, the elevators are fairly big because they can fit the whole gurney in there. So I would have been okay getting on if there was only one other person. I could stand at one end of the elevator. They could stand at the other. I'd be happy with that. But as one came, and, you know, one of the people who worked there said, "Are you going up or down?" I said, "No, just going down." And, you know, okay, that one was going up as, you know, people were getting on it. I stood there for another minute or two, and I asked that person, I said, "Are there stairs that I can go down?" And I said, and she said, "Yeah, they're, I said, and I pointed, I said, "Are they over that way? It sounds like somebody's coming up right now." She said, "Yes." And, so I just walked down the stairs. I mean, you know, I usually walk the stairs anyway, unless it's on a crazy high floor. I'm always more comfortable walking the stairs, again, because I don't have to touch anything and so forth. So I finished up and, you know, played revolving door roulette and didn't break my cane, and got out and found an empty spot out in front of this building, and, you know, got the Uber. And this car was much more comfortable than the Mercedes. It was a Toyota Camry. Much more comfortable, but the driver was just not very good. You know, stopping and going, I kind of think he was driving with 2 feet, and, you know, it just, you know, the only good thing was he didn't say too much to me. He said, you know, "David," and I said, "Yes." And that was the end of our conversation. You know, when I got out, I told him to have a great day. I don't recall him ever saying anything back. So I got home and I was good to go. And, one of the things that with Uber, again, maybe I should call this the Uber episode. when we were at the condo, Uber would always have trouble finding the building. And it was just so annoying. It got to the point where when Jacob would take an Uber, he would walk to the shopping center where the CVS and other stores were to get the Uber, because it was just easier than having to wait and the person, you know, drive past it. And you know, now that we're on a regular street in a regular type of house, you know, I just punch in the address, you know, or I just say here, you know, and, you know, the address comes up and it's good to go. the address used to come up over at the condo, but it, for whatever reason, and I witnessed it, you know, when I was going home to the condo, you know, in an Uber, like when I would go visit my mom, you know, they would try to go through this development that I now live in, you know, and I'm like, no, you don't go through there. It's, you know, it's just down the main street. I mean, it's off of this, you know, main street, Route 320 in Swarthmore. And, so it's, you know, makes it a little easier now knowing that they'll be able to find the place, fairly easily. So that was my adventure, going to the rheumatologist. And I thought that, you know, I was kind of happy the way it went. I was glad we did the dry run because I wouldn't have been able to find it on my own. It would have taken me forever to get to this place because I'd never been in, especially down this hallway that this, you know, that the office was in. So, you know, now I know and I don't have to do another dry run when I go back, you know, on November 5th. And, you know, I should be good to go. But, you know, it's, you know, like I've said in the past, it's never easy, but it can be done. You just have to find a different way to do it. You know, you can look and go and do. I can't go and, you know, I can't look, but I still want to go and I want to do things. And, you know, and that's how all blind folks are. They just, you know, they find a different way. It's just a different way of doing it. Not sometimes it takes a lot longer, but, you know, there's always a different way, you know, to get it done. And so there are my adventures to the rheumatologist. I don't know. Next week I'm hoping to have, and I've been going back and forth with some emails with Brian from the All Blind Fantasy Football League. He is the commissioner, and he is also the host, or co-host, I should say, of the That Real Blind Tech Show. So I'm hoping to have him, to connect with him, and for next week's podcast. Looks pretty good, but still waiting on a return email. So hopefully that'll be good to go. And we'll talk about both things. And it'll be interesting to get his insight and also maybe talk a little bit about New York because he's in New York. And I kind of miss going there, but, you know, don't want to go when everybody's sick and you could catch something. So I do appreciate you listening to episode 97, the Jane episode of the I Can't See You podcast. Thanks so much. Please continue to wash your hands, wear your mask, stay safe, and be well, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Bench.